Hi, everybody. I'm Michelle Martin at National Public Radio. Welcome to NPR Rough Cuts. We're working on a new daily interview and talk show, and we need your help. We want the show to be fresh, unpredictable, and real. We're dedicated to diverse perspectives, new voices, and opening up dialogue from around the world. We want to talk about issues in all their complexity, and we know that's a tall order, so we need your help to make it happen. We invite you to listen to our weekly offerings and tell us what you think. To read our weekly weblogs and to post your feedback, please log on to npr.org/roughcuts. Now, on with the program.
Every single sexually active person is going to get it at some point in their life.
That's Tamika Felder, and she's talking about a virus. Millions of people are exposed to it at some point. Only a fraction of them know they have it. And for some people, that ignorance is deadly. Sound familiar? It's not HIV/AIDS. No, this is something else. It's called HPV. And here to tell us what this is and what people need to do to protect themselves are Tamika Felder, founder of the online information and education organization, TamikaAndFriends.org, and Michelle Hanna of the Celebrate Life Foundation. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Michelle, first, what is HPV and how do you get it?
HPV is the human papillomavirus, and it is an STD. You do not have to have intercourse to get HPV. However, it can be contracted just skin on skin.
What's the connection to cervical cancer?
Well, HPV actually causes cervical cancer, and more than 95% of all of cervical cancer cases has been caused by HPV.
Why is it that most people don't know that? I think it's a shock to most people to hear that.
Absolutely. I have to say that I actually did not know what HPV was, had not ever heard of it, went to go see my gynecologist and found out basically that I had precancerous cells. And I just really believe that the gynecologists were confused about what HPV was, did not know how to explain HPV, so how could they relay that information to the patient?
Tamika, tell us how you learned about HPV.
It's funny because I went in after not having insurance for 2 years. I went to the doctor and because I had a boil under my arm. And that's when the truth came in. The doctor was like, when was the last time you had your last physical exam? And I was like, God, when was the last time? So he recommended a wonderful doctor. I went in to see her thinking everything would be fine because I didn't have any symptoms, any problems. I figured, oh, this doctor's going to tell me what every other doctor has told me in my life. Lose some weight. Came back to get the results, and I remember that day because my mom was in town. Went in, and she said no diabetes, no high blood pressure, no high cholesterol.
So you're thinking,
and
yippee.
I'm like, cool, let me get my bag. I'm off to work, you know, only needed an hour and a half to be away. She touches my knee, pushes me down, said, no, sweetie, let's talk about this PAP. And she says, you have carcinoma in situ. I knew carcinoma meant cancer. Had no idea what in situ was.
You were
25 years old.
And no symptoms, not feeling uncomfortable except for some little boil under your arm, which
exactly.
could have been like a pimple. And you're hearing that you have cancer. How did you feel about
that? I had cancer, that if I didn't do something immediately, that I would die, that I wouldn't live if I was lucky this year. It's been a very long journey these past 5 years. Went in, every doctor said the same thing. You definitely have advanced stage cervical cancer. One doctor kind of mumbled HPV under his breath, and it was my first time hearing it. But, you know, you're crazy. You're thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to die. I have no symptoms. What's going to happen? I got on a message board one night because I was like, I cannot be the only young woman who is single and childless going through something like this. And women as far as Europe contacted me. It was unbelievable. And every time I would put cervical cancer, and these three letters would come up, HPV. And I'm like, what is HPV? And human papillomavirus. At the time, I couldn't even pronounce that word. And now I know it's a sexually transmitted virus. It's like a virus like the flu. You know how you get the flu? Sometimes it stays a little while. Sometimes it stays a little longer. Well, HPV is a virus, except, and this is the only way I can say it, it's a coochie virus. It's a virus that you get in your coochie. Sometimes it stays, sometimes it goes. And it's something that if you've ever had sex, every single sexually active person is going to get it at some point in their life.
On the one hand, it's very common.
It's extremely
common. If you're sexually active.
Exactly.
On the other hand, it is a disease transmitted through intimate physical contact, as you said. Now, the way you're saying it, you're just kind of rolling off the tongue here. But when you first heard that you had cancer, which was caused by a sexually transmitted disease, did that make it harder for you in a way to get the kind of support that you needed?
I would have never said this out loud. I would have never said this out loud. Here I was, a highly educated woman. I was working at a network producing a health show. Here I am. I took sex ed in high school and got an A+ out of the class. If you ask any of my girlfriends, I'm the one that's like, do not have sex if you don't use a condom. So when this happened to me, my friends were devastated. Not only were they devastated, I was devastated. I was floored because I couldn't understand how.
But could I ask you this? I'm so sorry to be in your business.
That's why I'm doing this.
But sometimes people get the A on the paper and don't actually follow the instructions on the paper. Were you actually practicing safe sex?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was practicing safe sex. I have references for you to call. That's the type of safe sex I was practicing. But when there's something like this that's so common that even when you're wearing a condom, you're at risk, women need to know. And I ask doctors all the time, why don't you talk about it? And they always say there'll be widespread panic. When most of the times, in fact, it clears up on its own. And that's very true. It does. The other thing that we need to know is that there's a test that can detect the virus. So if you go in and get your Pap test, there's still another test that you need to get. And don't get the old conventional Pap test, the dry slide Pap test. There's a liquid-based Pap test, and there's different kinds. A popular one is the thin prep test.
You've told us a number of really important things. One is that many people get this virus, but for most people, it is not deadly. In fact, it can clear up on its own. But for some people, it can be very dangerous. And two, that women really need to be aware of their bodies. But Michelle, I want to ask you, given that this is so common, do men get it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Over 25 million Americans are infected, men and women. Now, men obviously don't get cervical cancer, but women get the cervical cancer, but men can be affected by genital wart.
Tamika was saying that condoms don't protect you, and even though she was a diligent user of condoms. So if condoms don't protect you, what can? Michelle.
You know, just abstinence. A condom is great, but it is not going to protect you from HPV. There is a vaccine that is called Gardasil that actually was FDA approved. And this is basically a vaccine that is supposed to be administered to children from the age of 9 to 26. And it's very important that parents understand and not be afraid to actually get their children vaccinated.
Both boys and girls, or mainly girls who should be vaccinated, who are in the target ages, say 9 to 26?
If possible, yes, definitely. I have a child that is 8 years old. She will be 9 in August, and she will definitely get the vaccine.
Tamika, you wrote that there are a number of issues that may be preventing African-American women from getting access to this important information. One that you said is ignorance about our bodies. Do you think other women have that experience? You mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that doctors, one of the reasons you avoided going to the doctor is that you didn't want to hear, lose weight, lose weight. Do you think that's a common thing?
I do. And I do think it's very hard to be on a table with a doctor in the room, a nurse, maybe a resident, so at minimum, maybe 2 or 3 people, and you're exposed. But in order for us to live and be healthy, we need to get past that.
And you just celebrated your 5th year.
I did on the day the vaccine came out. So very excited about
that. Great feeling. But is there any lingering trauma?
Yes, there is. And I would have to be honest. There's this feeling that I get, not every day like I used to, but sometimes knowing where my uterus was or just the space that something's not there. Something's missing.
You had to have a hysterectomy.
I had a hysterectomy, and I have a scar to remind me every day what I went through. I felt this time, in order to heal me, I needed to be a little bit more graphic in my story, to be more real, more honest, because when we say things out loud, we own them. And for me, it was saying it out loud and owning what happened to me.
Michelle Hyman, we're down to our last couple of seconds, but you mentioned that there was hopeful news to report about the HPV issue, and that a vaccine has been approved. But are you confident that everyone who needs access to this vaccine will be able to get it?
No, I'm absolutely not confident. in that. The VFC, which is vaccine for children, basically gives free vaccination until you're age 19. But what happens to the women after 19? If they have no insurance, then how are they going to get vaccinated? Merck is definitely reviewing some solutions, and one of those solutions is that they will pre-qualify low-income patients, and if you qualify, they will pay for the three doses that you will have to receive if you decide to take the vaccine.
Well, that's great news, Michelle. Thank you so much. Tamika, you mentioned your sadness at not being able to birth children of your own, but maybe this organization that you founded is, in a way, your child. So tell us about it.
Tamika and Friends is basically that. It started off me and my friends. They kept asking me, what can we do? What can we do? And one day we did something. We started an organization. We wanted to tell people about HPV and it's linked to cervical cancer in a fun way. So we do these things called HPVs, house parties of five. Kind of invite five of your closest girlfriends over for you to have fun and learn about your body and learn about cervical cancer, because it used to be the number one killer of women. And luckily we have the HPV test and the vaccine. So now in my lifetime, in our lifetimes, we can see this cancer eliminated.
Tamika Felder, thank you so much. Tamika Felder, she's the founder of TamikaAndFriends.org, just celebrated her fifth anniversary of being cancer-free. She joined us here in our Washington studio. Thank you so much, Tamika.
Thank you.
And we were also joined by Michelle Hanna. She is the founding president of the Celebrate Life Foundation, an organization dedicated to the elimination of HPV. She joined us from Georgia Public Broadcasting in Atlanta.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Now it's your turn. Were you aware of this issue before you heard this broadcast? Do health topics interest you in general? Obviously, this issue primarily affects women, but we'd like to ask if any of our male listeners found it interesting as well. And finally, we made a conscious decision not to include the typical guest on a topic like this, a doctor or researcher, because we thought the first-person approach made the program more accessible. Do you agree? Now you're the expert. Tell us what you think. Please visit the NPR Rough Cuts page on the web at npr.org/roughcuts. This is Michelle Martin. I'll talk to you next week.